We are grateful to be gathered this morning, and though the crowd is a little smaller, we are grateful for the visitors who are among us. And Jerry, you sort of slipped in under the radar, I think. I had heard you about you being here, but I had, and that's because someone got a call on your wife's phone, so that's how I knew, but I forgot that. So, but welcome, and we trust that together we can have a time of worship. That third verse of the last song, well, might just say this. We begin by singing gentle Holy Spirit. This is talking about a spirit that we consider to be gentle. He comforts, he moves, he guides, he reveals. We invite him to our presence, into our presence this morning. And in the third verse, it talks about the wind of God coming, bending, breaking, and filling. And the Spirit does all three of those things. And for a worship service to really be complete, in my experience, it about needs to have those three elements. And those three elements are a part of what I'd like to just talk about briefly this morning in this meditation. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. That's what I will be rereading that passage. I'm thinking this morning about the role of suffering in living a victorious Christian life. And I was impressed with how the Apostle Peter values suffering in this passage in our search for God, in our ability to live above the temptations and the stresses that would draw us down. Last week's Sunday school lesson, we're admonished to pray for all those that are in authority so that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. And so I think it's fair to say that we have evidence that God does want his children, or God, yeah, let's just say it that way, God wants his children to enjoy peace and rest. And it almost feels to me like in that passage that he's saying, you ought to pray for your environment. You ought to pray that God provides an environment that allows you peace and rest and blessing. Our idea of a quiet and peaceable life goes something like this. We have our farm, or we have our business. We go about our daily duties. Nothing really interrupts us. Things go well, and nobody bothers us. And we think of a quiet and peaceable life as the ideal. And that may be exactly what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Timothy to Timothy. About that it could be without suffering, without pain, and just have a nice life. But if you take it with the rest of Scripture, with the rest of the New Testament in particular, it doesn't really appear to me like that is what, that's not the only thing he's talking about, at least. And and so I think it's right for us to ask these questions. What role does suffering really play? What is quiet and peaceable? What is to be our experience? And I think most of us would be, if we're honest, would say that our life is not quite that way. There are moments in our lives that it's that way, but a lot of our lives are spent dealing with tension, dealing with pressures, and dealing with stresses. Now, maybe it's only fair to say that stress oftentimes is our own fault, I mean, it's not, it's how we handle the things that come to us that, that create stress. It's not the things themselves. But this whole idea that we just live peaceable lives, everything goes right, everything goes well, is something that I think the epistles especially debunk time and again, because it is, that's just not what life is about. Now, and another question that came up in our Sunday school class last week was, what about the verse that says that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12? And we look around and we say, well, we're not suffering persecution, though. So how ought we to be acting so we get it? You know, what is the, what's the, what's behind this? Why aren't we experiencing what we call persecution? Well, sort of using that for a backdrop, now listen to what how the Apostle Peter admonishes the people he's writing to. I'm going to read the entire chapter and then draw a few more comments from that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, it's obvious that we can't give very much attention in these next couple of minutes to, or not much attention to detail here. But the what I get from this passage is, especially at the beginning and at the end, it speaks about suffering and about the value of suffering, the value of hard times. And I think that while we don't have what we consider to be a lot of external pressures, there are things that we deal with on a daily basis that if we identify them and understand them, they are meant to perfect us. They are meant to make us better. They are meant to finally glorify God. I like the way he says it in verse, let me just read verse 13 and 14 again. After he tells them not to be surprised about some of the fiery trials, he says, but to rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, he's talking about this mindset that we adapt a mindset that does not view suffering as an enemy, but that we view suffering as a means to glorify God. Verse 1, where he says, for as much that as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And you know, for us Americans, it's pretty hard for us to get this. But you don't have to go very far. The majority of the believers in this world know what this is talking about. They don't ask some of the questions that we do. They're not as I about said naive. That's not very nice to call us naive, maybe. But they're not as uninformed as we are, because they deal with these things on a regular basis, and they have learned that they must arm themselves likewise with the same mind as our Lord when he suffered. But here's, I wanted to just finish verse 13 and 14. But we're to rejoice because it is when we are partakers of his sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, we may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so he's making this connection about suffering and glorification and blessing and joy, that a lot of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world experience. Now, to be sure, nobody in his right mind goes looking for trouble, in looking for persecution. But he's saying that there is that reward for those who have it, those who deal with it. But he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And so all of this to say that I am one with anyone else who just tries to avoid pain because I don't like it. But at the same time, when we embrace suffering as a gift from God, we will end up actually glorifying. It will bend us, it will break us, and then he can fill us. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let's embrace the peace and the quiet that we enjoy. But let's remember there is another kind of peace and quiet that we can enjoy as well in the midst of suffering. And that day may well come. Let's kneel and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as brothers and sisters who love you and who know each other and care about each other. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of fellowship, the gift of this body. It is your body, and we thank you for your headship among us. And we just pray that our lives will truly represent the work that you have done, and the suffering that you have that the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. And I just pray, Lord, that that this next week, whatever the circumstances are that come our way, that you will help us to prepare our hearts to receive that kind of or difficult circumstances, because they can perfect us, because it is a way to bring us closer to you. In the end, Lord, we want you to be glorified both in our lives away from here, but especially this morning here in this service. May we honor you with our hearts, with our minds, and with our words. In Jesus' name, amen.